Thank you for joining us again on The Space Show.
Hello, Andrew.
I believe that you're working on a new instrument which can actually help detect the pressure on the ground from a satellite. How on earth can you do that?
Well, it's a very difficult problem, and so far nobody's managed to do it yet. And yet, at the same time, it's realized by people in meteorology that to get the actual pressure of the atmosphere, the surface atmospheric pressure, in remote locations, especially over the oceans, it would be a big leap forward, because unless you have passing ships, unless you have weather ships out there, you just don't get that information. And scientists with the CSIRO Division of Atmospheric Research have started working on that problem a number of years ago and have developed now a prototype instrument that effectively will work on the basis that the satellite can catch some of the sunlight that has traveled through the atmosphere, been reflected off the oceans, and traveled all the way up to the satellite again. By that time, that particular sunlight, that little bit of reflection, which is called sun glint, will have gone twice through the whole atmosphere. The instrument is trying to measure through an absorption spectrum of oxygen how much light has been absorbed by the oxygen in the atmosphere. If you can work that out, you will know how much oxygen there was, because the amount of oxygen is constant in the atmosphere. You can then translate the amount of oxygen in the total amount of atmosphere, and it's the mass of the atmosphere over a particular spot that determines the atmospheric pressure. So it's really trying to say, can we measure how much atmosphere there is over a particular point? In that case, we can tell you what the pressure is. And that's what the instrument is trying to do.
And you wouldn't be affected by dust in the air, water vapor in the air, salt spray over the ocean areas?
No, you would be affected by all those things. That's why the instrument is not simply a lay-down misère. It's not an easy instrument to think of. And even if you have the instrument that can do the measurement, you need very clever algorithms, very clever software, in terms of transferring the data that you've recorded into an absolute measurement. Now, the software will have in it a whole range of algorithms that take account of the dust in the atmosphere and about take account of the accidental reflections of sunlight off the dust, which means that sunlight would arrive at the satellite instrument without having traveled all the way down to the ocean. But it can be done. And it may even be done by assistance of yet another instrument, an active remote sensing instrument called the LIDAR, which would be scanning down from the satellite and give you a profile of how much dust or how much salt or how much cloud, whatever, is in the atmosphere.
A LIDAR, of course, is a laser radar.
Yes, basically. A LIDAR is in atmospheric science, it's well known, but it's probably not well known outside the industry. But you can use light pulses from a laser, just like you can use pulses of radio waves that you do in a radar. And both work in a way on the same principle, that the light is being reflected off small particles. If you use a telescope to reflect, to collect the reflections, then it can tell you something about how far away the dust is and how much dust there is in the atmosphere.
So what process do you intend to go through now to prove the instrument and get it aboard a spacecraft?
Well, there are several steps being undertaken at the same time. We have a prototype instrument that's been built by CSIRO, and which already has had the input of AusSpace, the Australian space company, to actually bring the instrument up to a prototype that can be tested not only on the ground but also in aircraft. CSIRO scientists will now conduct a whole series of experiments to prove the capability of the instrument, that it can really do what is needed to get you the right sort of surface pressure. At the same time, the Australian Space Office is supporting the instrument by already calling for industry contracts to develop the instrument to the next stage of defining better the various components of the instrument and to start thinking about how you would have to miniaturize the instrument to put it actually on board a spacecraft. So over the next 2 years, a lot of exciting developments will take place, and at the end of that 1 to 2 year period, it should be decided whether the instrument definitely can fly in space or not. Until all these different activities are complete, it's always still a possibility that something will still not work out.
And would you be looking, if it is successful, would you be looking towards an Australian satellite or an overseas vehicle?
It would Most likely it would be an overseas satellite. But the issue is that if Australia can show internationally that we can contribute a high-quality instrument to the remote sensing instruments that already fly on satellites, then it's a sort of in-kind contribution to those instrumentation, to that instrumentation. At the moment, we have free use of a lot of the satellites that have been launched by mostly the United States and or Europe and Japan. If Australia wants free access to those satellites, in a way, one day we'll probably have to contribute and play our part to put up satellites or to put up instruments so that we are considered part of the space community and can keep receiving these images for free. Now, this instrument might be just that sort of candidate for that contribution.
Thank you, Willem.
You're welcome.